Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Capital Irish. Hello everyone and welcome to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. My name is Marion Grealis and I'll be with you for the next half hour here with Capital Irish. I thought for today's show we'd start with a wee bit of a history lesson. I found some really interesting articles on the RTE website and they're being published to commemorate the centenary of the foundation of the Irish state. And there's a lot of really interesting history about various aspects of, you know, starting a new state from scratch. So we stand here in February 2022, 100 years on from the establishment of the Irish Civic Guards, the first forerunner of the Garda Síochána that we know today. So this article was, as I say, on the RTE website, and it's by Shane McElhattan on the topic. And I'll give you a wee summary of it, but I would recommend that you seek out the article if you're interested in this part, as my précis here probably won't do it justice. So the Royal Irish Constabulary, the RIC, they were due to disband on the 20th of February 1922. 11 days earlier, on the 9th of February, the chairman of the provincial government, Michael Collins, and other members of his cabinet met with some former RIC and DMC, that's the Dublin Metropolitan Constabulary, met with those members to ask them to form a committee and then make recommendations for the establishment of a new police force. And they were given 3 weeks to do that. And the issue was urgent. Ireland was emerging from the conclusion of the War of Independence. British armed forces had, for the most part, already departed. And the RIC, as I say, were disbanding and in anticipation of their dissolution in just a few short weeks, they had ceased to do any patrols. Many people around the country who'd been involved either in fighting the War of Independence or had wanted to and hadn't now had easy access to guns and ammunition. And what's reported to have been a crime wave was evident across the country, particularly armed robbery. So clearly we can see the need for urgency there to set up a new police force. But who could help with that? Who could help establishing that new police force? There were only a few people in the country who had the experience to do so, but just a few short weeks previously, they had been the enemy. The former RIC and DMC officers had been within the very institutions that the War of Independence had so recently been fought against. So Collins, understandably though, also didn't have a high level of trust in the military police of the IRA. So he decided then, on balance, to engage with the people he and others had been vilifying and discrediting for some time, that is to say, those former RIC and DMC officers. So McElhattan's article on the RTE website walks us through the initial setup of the Civic Guards in the first half of 1922, and originally they were an armed force. He also walks us through how the distrust within the ranks of the Civic Guards, their distrust of the former RIC and DMC officers at the top of the organisation, led ultimately to the Civic Guard mutiny in May of that year. Aided and abetted by anti-treaty elements within the Civic Guards, who then used the mutiny to raid the Civic Guard armoury in Kildare and transport weapons to the forecourts in Dublin, where anti-treaty IRA forces were already in occupation. Now, following that mutiny, the Civic Guards were more or less disbanded and reformed as the Garda Síochána we know today, with that mutiny and raiding of the armoury being a large factor in the ultimate decision for the force to be unarmed. Now, as I say, McElhattan does a better job than I do of painting the picture. So again, head on over to the RTE website and have a look for the series Decade of Commemorations. There you'll find a number of articles recalling the events and debates that formed the establishment of the Irish state. We'll take a break from our history lesson and we'll have some music now. We're going to listen to the Dubliners and O Rosha the Vaha Walia, and I'll let you know afterwards why I chose it for today's show. The Vaha Walia there, and the reason I played that song is that it nicely introduces the next topic on Capital Irish today, which is podcasts. Now, you might think that since the song was about Gráinne Whale, who was a pirate queen from the 16th century, the link between her and podcasts might be tenuous at best, and to be fair, you might not be wrong. But this past week, I've been thinking about podcasts and how I'd like to share with our Capital Irish listeners some podcasts that you might be interested in. If you've got work to do in the garden or a room to paint, or you know, a long walk that you want to do, a podcast can be a great companion. We're all far from home here in Wellington, but there's a lot of content out there to connect us back to Ireland. And though, of course, obviously, Capital Irish will naturally be your first choice of podcast, we only broadcast once a week, so I thought I would share some more with you to help you fill in some of the rest of your time. The first podcast that I'm going to talk about is called Fireside, and it's hosted by Kevin C. O'Lehan, who tells stories from Irish mythology, folklore and history on his podcast, complete, I might add, with crackling fire noises and owls hooting in the background. Then he discusses the stories themselves, some of the culture and some of the history of storytelling. Now, Gronuail has been a topic of the podcast, and this is our connection to Orosha the Bahawalia, along with many familiar figures such as Fionn MacCool, Cú Chulainn, St. Brigid, and so on and so forth. So if you're listening, if you're interested in Irish folklore and mythology, you may well find many happy listening hours on Fireside. Let's have a wee listen to that episode on Gronuail now.
This is Gronuail, Ireland's Pirate Queen, on Fireside. Gronuail, Ireland's Pirate Queen. Never has the function of folklore been better exemplified than with the preserving of the legend of Grace O'Malley, or as she became known as, Gronuail. Grace lived in an Ireland which had once held a matriarchal sway in the time of the Celts, but in the 1,000 years since the rise of Christianity and of Roman law, the role of women had been completely reduced to childbearing and marriage dowries. Indeed, despite having a claim to have ruled Ireland's most rugged western coast by both land and sea for over 40 years, even after her death, Gronuail's place in history was not so much erased as it was never recorded. The only historical source we have for Ireland's Pirate Queen comes to us from English official state records, coming from Gráinne's frequent letters to her then-perceived enemy, Queen Elizabeth I, another woman who defied every custom, law, and expectation of a woman in her time. It has been said that Gronuail was relegated to myth, to folklore, and to legend. Much like the heroes she echoed, the sovereignty goddess Eru, the trainer of heroes Sciathach, and perhaps most similarly of all, Ireland's warrior queen, Maeve of Connacht. It could be said becoming a character of folklore undermines the history and the actual deeds of the very real Gronuail. Yet without folklore, we may never have heard of Ireland's pirate queen at all. Her story and her legend were passed down by word of mouth from generation to generation. She was commemorated in song and poetry until at last modern historians could unearth what truth they could from the limited resources at their disposal. Now the name of Gronuail is as famous as any other Irish hero, historical or mythical. And the fact that she did indeed enter the realm of myth and folklore is, if anything, a true testament to her skill, charisma, and power as a leader.
So that was a clip there from the Fireside podcast by Kevin C. O'Lehan. And that episode was about Gronuail, or Grace O'Malley, the pirate queen from County Mayo, in fact. Fireside or storytelling may be something that you're interested in, and if it is, I would recommend you go find that podcast. You can find it on the usual spots for podcasts like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. I'll put some links in the description of this podcast when we put it up on Podbean as well for you to find. Now, it could be that storytelling is not your thing, or it is your thing, but also sports is your thing. So if sport is what you're interested in and you would like to listen to a podcast with an Irish flavour, Second Captains might well be what you're looking for. A recent episode included an interview with a New Zealand rugby great, the one and only Sonny Bill Williams. Let's have a quick listen to that one now.
One of the biggest names in world rugby is on the Second Captain's World Service this week, and we ask him, obviously, mostly about boxing. Hey, Murph.
Oh, what are we doing? What came over us?
I'll tell you what came over us, Murph. Myself and yourself have been out to the Monkstown Boxing Club, which operates in Sallynoggin out of St. Joseph's Boys Football Club, to meet the great Sonny Bill Williams, as well as being World Player of the Year in Rugby League and a two-time World Cup winner with the All Blacks in Union. Sonny Bill has also boxed professionally 8 times, in fact. His current record stands at 8-0. And his next fight is at the end of March in Sydney against Barry Hall. Does anyone remember that name?
Big bad Barry Hall.
Yeah, there's a few Irish international rules players who would rather not hear mention of that guy's name again. He was quite the bully, if I recall.
Well, I mean, we're mentioning it in the context of hopefully Sonny Bill Williams knocking the head off him. So, I mean, we've got to accentuate the positives here.
To prepare for that one, Williams wanted the very best training, and to get that, he flew all the way to Dublin to work out with our friend Andy Lee, and that is what has one of the biggest names in world sport, let alone rugby, working out in a sports hall in the noggin. It's quite surreal, really, but it happened. It is happening at the moment, and we took full advantage to go out and meet the guys, Andy and Sonny Bill. Given the week that's in it, as well as the boxing chat, we did talk a little bit of Six Nations as well, I should say that. He was at the Ireland-Wales game and was especially pleased for an old friend. Nice to see Bundiaki getting a try. Is he from your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I caught up with him the day after the game, and I was telling him, bro, stop hanging on the wing waiting for those meat pies. Get in there and do some work. So, but yeah, it's great to see Bundy, James Lowe, you know, the Kiwi lad, come over, not just for Ireland, but Wales, overseas, and make something of themselves and their families, you know. Really happy for Bundy and his family. I remember back in Chiefs in 2012, I think I told Andy the story, that he came in, he was just working at the bank, and he was a part-timer, and he was real loud, and I was thinking, who is this young fella, you know? And so on the first day of training, he was talking it up, he's pointing at me, I got Sonny. So I said, oh, I'm going to smash this guy, you know? So anyway, they were exiting, it was on their trial line, you know, you don't shoot up on the trial line, you just hold and push. I said, nah, stuff this, I'll put it on this kid, you know? You know, I rushed up and I looked in, and the 10 threw a long ball. I threw a pass, and Bundy bounced on the pass, got straight outside me and made a break. And I think I said, he can play. Good on you, cuz. You know what
I mean? Like, that's temperament.
Yes. I let him go through.
That was Second Captains there. And if, as I say, a sports podcast is the thing that you're into, you could do worse than to have a listen to that one as you're out and about or you're doing your jobs. I should also say that Second Captains also broadcast a podcast by David O'Doherty, who is an Irish comedian that I would be a big fan of. And it was called the Isolating Podcast, although it got renamed the Insulating Tripod. Not sure what that's all about. Well, I kind of know, but that was a lot of fun as well. And that there were three sort of series of that, starting from March 2020 and then popping in and out until quite recently. So if David O'Doherty is something that you would like to listen to, you'll find him on Second Captains as well. Right then, our next podcast. Okay, this, I'm a bit embarrassed, but I don't mind sharing because I'm among friends. My favourite podcast from Ireland is one that I think appeals to, shall we say, women of a certain age, by which I mean late Gen X or early millennial, who as preteens and teenagers were avid readers of the Sweet Valley High series of books. It was a series based in California. It was about these twins, the Wakefield twins, and they were impossibly gorgeous, and they had boyfriends and everything at 16, which is amazing when you're 11 or 12 and you think, wow, when I'm 16, I'll be super grown up and I'll be driving around the place. I was not, by the way. but anyway, in that podcast series, book by book, Karen Moynihan and Anna Carey recap and share their thoughts on the absolute insanity of the ridiculous plots, the complete dereliction of any parental duty, the bullying, the just madness, topped off with some stats and outfits. So we get to learn at the end of each episode how many times did this book mention how blonde the Wakefield twins are, because discerning fans like myself need to know. Let's have a few minutes to let's have a listen to the first couple of minutes of the very first episode and see if this sounds like something that you'd be into.
Hello and welcome to Double Love, the podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of Sweet Valley High, book by book. I'm Anna Carey, a writer from Dublin.
And I'm Karen Moynihan. I'm a graphic designer and Sweet Valley High recapper slash blogger.
What an amazing title.
I know.
I wish that I could officially describe myself thus, but now we can describe ourselves as Sweet Valley podcasters.
Podcasters, yeah. It's exciting.
We are very excited about this. And we're going to start by explaining how we both discovered Sweet Valley, our Sweet Valley journeys.
Indeed.
So Karen, I know you first read the books in kind of in the spirit in which they are intended.
Yeah, so
read.
I would have been quite an earnest book-loving 11-year-old in primary school, just working my way through the shelf of Sweet Valley High books in the library in Dungarvan, loving them and just thinking Jessica was the coolest.
You did think she was the coolest?
Did
you not see her evil?
Honestly not. I just thought she just does whatever she wants. It's amazing. And in my head, I was like, I'm probably more like Elizabeth, a bit boring. Whereas now I realise she was just a judgmental a-hole.
Yeah.
But,
it's
the benefit of hindsight, really. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of it is a bit of a shit sandwich. This is my choice.
No good answer.
Yeah, there's not really a good option between the Wakefield twins.
There really isn't.
They're bad in their own unique, different ways.
Unique and terrible ways.
My Sweet Valley journey was slightly different because I first discovered them around the time they came out, but not by reading the actual books. It's because my family used to do our Get the Messages in the big shop.
Absolutely.
In Artane Castle in North Dublin, and the supermarket there was a supermarket, and there was also a bookstall called Newsagents. And my sister Jenny and I, this would have been the mid-80s, used to go in and just read the backs of the Sweet Valley High
books. Tantalising.
They were so tantalising. And we knew who everybody was because of reading the blurbs and looking at the covers, but never actually read any of them. And then by the time I did read them, I was about 12 or 13 and I was sort of into like Paula Danziger, kind of good,
cooler stuff.
Well, actually, like sort of proper inverted commas YA books. So they just seemed kind of ridiculous. And then when I was in my late teens, somehow a copy of Crash Landing
Amazing.
And Alone in the Crowd, two classics.
Absolutely, yeah.
Appeared in my house and Jenny and
disappeared one day.
I genuinely can't remember how they got there. They just like manifested. And Jenny and I read them and just found them completely hilarious. And kept finding them hilarious and just managed to acquire through the charity shops of Dublin
Amazing.
A pretty much a complete collection, and have just found them hilarious ever since. To the extent that when I was on my J1, when I was like 21, I joined Boston Library to have a supply of books, and I went to the teen section and they had some Sweet Valleys I'd never read.
Ooh.
And including the one where Todd returns from Vermont. Which, for those who have not, who are not as
familiar,
as worryingly familiar, Todd is Elizabeth Wakefield's longtime boyfriend. And then there's a period where he goes to Vermont and she goes out with Jeffrey French.
Who no one cares about.
No one remembers, really.
Yeah, whatever, Jeffrey, get out of here.
But I'd never read the one where, Todd returns. Mm. And I'd read one when he was back. And
okay, yeah, you skipped all the...
Yeah, I hadn't
the return scandal.
I'd missed that bit. So I got a bunch of Sweet Valleys out of Boston Library, but I was so ashamed that I actually said to the librarian, I'm writing a thesis on teen literature. She didn't ask me. She didn't care. I just felt the shameful urge to explain myself.
Amazing.
But
what's great about that is that I would love to read someone's thesis about Sweet Valley High.
So would
I.
I would
be so into that.
Why didn't I write
it? You should have done it. You should have followed through on your lie.
Oh, God. Well.
Okay, we better stop there because I could just listen to the rest of that episode quite happily. That is Double Love. And you will find that again in the usual spots, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, etc. A lot of fun. Really enjoy those recaps by Karen and Anna. Our final podcast on the agenda today is for those of you who would like to brush up on the Irish language. This one is called Nuacht Mall, and the premise here is Príomhscéalta na Seachtaine Léite Go Mall. That is to say, the week's main news stories read slowly in Irish. I listened to a recent episode and I actually surprised myself with how much I understood. Let's see how you get on with this story about an Irish film that won at the Berlin Film Festival.
Tá dúis buata Ig fod sganon gwelga, ig fela sganon verlin. Wui an sganon dar tegel an Colleen Kewen, an Grand Prix Serrano Gluen, New Generation. Ig fela idrno shunta sganon verlin. Is é an chéad scanán gaeilge a taspána ag an bhéile, agus túir scítar go bhór sé ceara bhauta búla bus ón locht féchina sa ghearmáin. Tuga ardhwala don chinema ta graffiacht, don scór agus an aistór óg Catherine Clinch atá sa fríomh fort. Níl Catherine a chráb líon déag d'ís, agus is é seo a céad fort. Is é an Colleen Kewen an chéad scanán fada ag an stiúrthóir Colm Barréid agus ag an léirithóir Cleona ní Chruaillí ón gcólacht inscéal. Tá an scanán bunaithe ar scéal de chuid Claire Keegan ina insítear scéal cháit, Colleen óg ní mlína d'ís ó chealach atá róflódaithe agus mí aimiúil. Agus a chuirtear ar siúil chun cóí le tuismitheoirí altrama don saoire í.
So that was an excerpt there from Nuacht Mall, or Nuacht Gamal, I should say. I really love the idea of this podcast because I found at least that it could really help me tune my ear into the Irish language. And I would say if you give it a go, you might soon feel confident enough to join Finbar and the group Cora, because I know they would be very welcoming. So if that's what you want to do and you just want to brush up on your Irish, this could be a podcast that could be helpful for you. Well, listeners, that is all that I've got for you on today's programme. I really hope you enjoyed listening to some snippets of podcasts, and I hope that you can find something that you like to listen to when you're doing those gardening jobs or out and about, because I definitely find a lot of those really worthwhile listening to. We're going to finish up, since we played a song from our Irish school days earlier with Ó Rois de Bheatha Bhaile, we will finish with something similar. This is Trasna na Dunta, Across the Waves, and thank you for listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106 FM. Slán go fóill.
Trasna na Dunta, dul sír, slán le seo an uignis e slán le seo an gín. Gáil é mochri agus gáil é an grín, gáil bheg fila go hérin. Honig ma go in the hir a gain, or agus arig e sevris an tail, Irene an Corín an le brog.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.